If you have your Bible, open them to John chapter number 4. John chapter number 4. I'm thankful to Pastor for allowing me to speak this evening while he's away. I hope you'll continue to pray for him and the family while they travel. I'm thankful for a pastor who prioritizes the family and loves spending time with them, investing in their relationship with him. Tonight, as we look at John chapter number 4 and 5, in it we're going to see Jesus Christ take a trip, or a journey, if you will, a journey of brokenness. And while on this journey of brokenness, we're going to see three characters. We're going to see an outcry, a helpless executive, and a broken cripple. Each of these people has a desperate physical need, but when they meet Jesus, they realize that they also have a desperate spiritual condition. I don't know everyone in this auditorium, but I know we're all human and we all have needs. Some might feel lonely, so tonight you came seeking comfort or encouragement. Some of you might be battling sickness or disease, and you're looking for a source of hope. Some of you are tired and worn out. And even though we're only halfway through the week, it just feels like it's left you drained and defeated. Some of us are facing financial struggles, marital struggles, family struggles, a crisis at work, maybe a broken transmission, an empty pantry. The list goes on and on. No matter what you came here hoping to find, I want to tell you that what you really need is an encounter with Jesus Christ. Now let's look at John chapter 4, where Jesus' journey of brokenness begins. And we're going to start in John 4, verse number 3. He left Judea and departed again into Galilee, and he must needs go through Samaria. Then cometh he to a city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near to the parcel of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Now Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied with his journey, sat thus on the well, and it was about the sixth hour. There cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water. Jesus saith unto her, Give me to drink, for his disciples were gone away into the city to buy meat. Then saith the woman of Samaria unto him, How is it that thou, being a Jew, askest drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. Jesus answered and said unto her, If thou knewest the gift of God, and who it was that saith to thee, Give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water. The woman saith unto him, Sir, thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. From whence then hast thou that living water? Art thou greater than our father Jacob, which gave us the well, and drank thereof himself, and his children, and his cattle? Jesus answered and said unto her, Whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. The woman saith unto him, Sir, give me this water, that I thirst not, neither come hither to draw. Jesus saith unto her, Go call thy husband and come hither. The woman answered and said, I have no husband. Jesus said unto her, Thou hast well said, I have no husband. For thou hast had five husbands, and he who thou now hast is not thy husband. In that saidest thou truly. The woman saith unto him, Sir, I perceive that thou art a prophet. Our fathers worshipped in this mountain, and ye say that in Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship. Jesus saith unto her, Woman, believe me, the hour cometh when ye shall neither in this mountain nor yet at Jerusalem worship the Father. Ye worship ye know not what. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship him. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. The woman saith unto him, I know that Messiah cometh, which is called Christ. When he is come, he will tell us all things. Jesus saith unto her, I that speak unto thee am he. So first we see an outcast woman in this journey of brokenness of our Lord Jesus. Jesus begins his journey in Judea, heading towards Galilee, but makes a pit stop through Samaria. He says he must needs go through it. Now, Samaria is enemy territory to the Jews. They hate the Samaritans, and they make every effort to avoid the area, to not even see the Samaritans. But Jesus says he must needs go through it. Now, while he's there, he gets tired, so he takes a rest at a well and sends his disciples away to find food, since it's lunchtime. While Jesus waits for their return, a woman happens to come to the well to draw water. And Jesus makes an innocent but radical request. He says, "Give me to drink." Now, to our modern American ears, it makes sense. I mean, it's a hot summer day. It's time for lunch. Why not just give the man a drink of water? But this was unheard of to the woman. First, because Jesus was a Jew. And like we said earlier, the Jews had no dealings with the Samaritans. They thought they were unclean, unholy, horrible people. Second, she was a woman. Men in that time didn't talk to women unless it was their wife. So that was completely going against the culture that he even talked to her. Third, she was an outcast. Think about it. This woman came to draw water in the hottest part of the day, outside of the city, carrying that all by herself. Why did she do that? Because none of the other women or other people in the city wanted anything to do with her. We find out later in the passage that this woman has had 5 husbands and lives currently with a man that she doesn't even feel the need to marry. This woman is an outcast in her community because she lives an immoral lifestyle, and everyone there knows it. So in her mind, for Jesus even to acknowledge her existence, to talk to her, to ask something of her, blows her away. But you see, Jesus isn't scared of broken people. It was no accident that the woman met Jesus that day at the well. While she is focused on her physical need for some water, Jesus is focused on her deep spiritual needs, her spiritual hunger for inclusion and acceptance. The woman says that she can't give Jesus any water because the Jews hate the Samaritans and they can't be civil to each other, and there's no way that she can do that. But yet Jesus offers her living water and eternal life. Jesus tells her to bring her husband to him, and she tries to lie and hide and cover up her sin and her shame to avoid judgment. Yet Jesus tells her, "I already know your sin. I already know your shame. I already know your past, and I love you anyway." The woman says that she's too far away from God with no way to get to him. She comes from the wrong sides of the tracks, and God is not here. He only loves those Jews in Jerusalem, and I can't worship God because of who I am. But Jesus says, it doesn't matter where you come from. Amen. It doesn't matter where you are. It doesn't matter what you've done. Right. For the time of this ignorance, God winked at, but now calls all men everywhere to repent. God offers eternal life to anyone who will turn from their sin and simply put their faith in him. And he will welcome them into the family of God with open arms. Amen. Now at this point, the gears in her head begin to turn. She no longer believes that this is an accident that Jesus has met her there. This man is obviously a prophet from God, for no one can know the things about her that he does. Now, this man talks about living water. He talks about eternal life and how an outcast like me, an outcast like her, can come to the Father and worship just like everybody else. I mean, who is this guy? Who does he think he is? The Messiah that she had always heard about was supposed to be a hard man, a cold man, a almost bloodthirsty man trying to destroy the Jews' enemies and free them from the Romans. That's who the Messiah she always heard about was supposed to be. But this man is different. This man tells me that there's a place for me in heaven. This man says that my sins can be forgiven. This man says that I can know the love of God. Jesus says that there's room at his table even for the outcast. So first we see an outcast woman wondering, who is this Messiah? What is she talking about? What is he talking about? Why does he say that I can love God? But then we see a helpless executive along his journey. Jesus leaves Samaria and he goes to a helpless executive. Look with me at verse number 46. John 4:46 says, "So Jesus came again into Cana of Galilee, where he made the water wine. And there was a certain nobleman whose son was sick at Capernaum. When he heard that Jesus was come out of Judea into Galilee, he went unto him and besought him that he would come down and heal his son, for he was at the point of death. Then Jesus said unto him, Except ye see signs and wonders, ye will not believe. The nobleman said unto him, Sir, come down, ere my child die. Jesus saith unto him, Go thy way, thy son liveth. And the man believed the word that Jesus had spoken unto him, and he went his way. And as he was now going down, his servants met him and told him, saying, Thy son liveth. Then inquired he of them the hour when he began to amend. And they said unto him, yesterday at the seventh hour the fever left him. So the father knew that it was at the same hour in the which Jesus said unto him, thy son liveth, and himself believed, and his whole house. Now this is the second stop along Jesus' journey of brokenness. And we meet two new characters along the trip, a helpless executive and a dying son. Now the executive, the nobleman, belongs to the noble class of the people of Israel, which means he's either a descendant of a king, he belongs to a court, like he's a judge or something like that, or he's a soldier of the king. But whatever this man's official title or task or what he was supposed to do, he is the exact opposite of the woman we see at the well. You see, the woman was an outcast. This man is a leader. The woman was hated by society, but this man is respected. The woman led a ruined and broken life, but this man seemed to have it all figured out. But for all of his power, for all of his prestige, his position, his money, his status, he was helpless to save himself and helpless to save his dying son. Now, the Bible doesn't say this for sure, but I'm sure it's true. I'm sure this man had tried everything thus far to save his son. He had tried the best doctors. He tried all the best medicines and used every asset at his disposal to try and find a cure for his son's illness, but to no avail. Nothing worked. No doctors, no treatments, no surgeries. Nothing that he had could save him, and he was left helpless. No doubt the father loved his son and was willing to do anything to save his life. And we see that when he heard that the miracle worker Jesus was on his way, that he's left his sick son in Capernaum and went to go find him. Remember that this man had everything that he could ever want. He lives in the biggest house on the block. He comes from a good family and drives the nicest camel in the entire town. Yet he comes to see Jesus and beg him, a Nazarene, for help. If we were to turn over to John chapter number 1, we see Philip bringing Nathanael to Jesus. And what does Nathanael say? He says, can any good thing come out of Nazareth? But Philip saith unto him, come and see. Yeah. Even though this man looked like he had everything he needed, even though it looked like he had everything figured out, he still needed Jesus. He still required what that lowly carpenter from Nazareth offered. So he put his pride to the side and came to the one person who could help him. Now, Jesus knows this man's heart. He knows who he is. So in verse 48, it says, except ye see signs and wonders, ye will not believe. This nobleman needs to see proof to believe Jesus. He knows who Jesus is and that he can do the impossible. So at Jesus' words, he believes that the miracle has taken place. But it is not until the executive sees the evidence of Jesus' work that he and his house believed in Jesus. You see, all of us have a sickness that money, status, and prestige cannot heal. We all have a condition that we are helpless to do anything about, and the only way is to find healing is to come to Jesus Christ. You may be here tonight going through a battle, and you may think you have it all figured out and you can take care of it on your own, but you will not find true happiness, true complete satisfaction until you realize your helplessness and true need for Jesus Christ. It may be tonight that the very struggle that brought you here to this place, it was given to you to bring you to this place. So maybe like the nobleman, it won't be until you put aside your pride and simply cry out to God and ask for help that he will free you from your trial. So first we saw an outcast woman. And then we saw a helpless executive. And now we're going to see a broken cripple. Look at me with me at chapter number 5, verse number 1. After this, there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now there is at Jerusalem by the sheep market a pool, which is called in the Hebrew tongue Bethesda, having 5 porches. In these lay a great multitude of impotent folk, of blind, halt, withered, waiting for the moving of the water. For an angel went down at a certain season into the pool and troubled the water. Whosoever then first after the troubling of the water stepped in was made whole of whatsoever disease he had. And a certain man was there which had an infirmity 38 years. When Jesus saw him and knew that he had been now a long time in that case, he saith unto him, wilt thou be made whole? The impotent man answered him, sir, I have no man when the water is troubled, to put me into the pool. But while I am coming, another steppeth down before me. Jesus saith unto him, Rise, take up thy bed, and walk. And immediately the man was made whole, and took up his bed, and walked. And on the same day was the Sabbath day. Jump down to verse number 14. Afterward, Jesus findeth him in the temple, and said unto him, Behold, thou art made whole. Sin no more, lest a worse thing come unto thee. My wife and I, for the last couple months, have begun watching The Chosen, which is a television series about the life of Christ. And I know some of you might have your opinions about that TV series, but my wife and I enjoy it. And I remember when they reenacted this miracle. And the episode starts in silence with a boy who falls from the tree and has to be carried back to his home. The doctors get there and they say the boy is now a cripple and will never walk again. So from then on, the boy just sits and watches the other kids play, but is never included. But his family tries everything to heal the young boy. Much like the nobleman, they spend everything on doctors, on medicines, and even trying different witch doctors, all trying to heal their beloved son. But the boy ends up living out his childhood on a bed, watching life happen all around him, but never being able to take part. But eventually, his family abandons him. Unable to take care of him, they put him out on the streets, where he ends up at the pool of Bethesda, just waiting, 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 doing nothing more than just surviving, hoping for the day that the water is troubled, for the slim chance that he might be healed. Now, we don't know if all that is true, but can't you just see it? This man who's had this issue for 38 years, maybe as a young man, he just waits, and days turns into months, months into years. By this time, I'm sure he's seen the water troubled many times, but each and every time, he's always just too late. Every time, he's just not quick enough. He's stepped on, run over, pushed aside, beaten down, and pulled back, with his goal always just out of reach. Still, he fights, he claws, and he strains just to get into that water, which will be his salvation. But he always falls just short, year after year. What was once a young man maybe became middle-aged and old, worn out, helpless, alone, with no one caring for him, no one to help him. By the time Jesus meets him, this man is broken beyond repair. And with no one to help him, his salvation is unattainable. But then Jesus saw him. Jesus saw him laying there in his brokenness and asked him a peculiar question. He says, Wilt thou be made whole? Jesus doesn't ask if he wants help into the water. He doesn't ask if he wants his legs to be healed. He doesn't ask why his life is falling apart or how he got into this mess. He just asks if he wants to be made whole. He asks it like he's a shattered vase, and Jesus can put the shards back together. It's like he's a puzzle that's been forever missing one piece, but now Jesus has that missing piece. He asks it like he's a beautiful painting that has been destroyed, but Jesus was the artist who painted him, and he can make him whole. So Jesus asked the man, Wilt thou be made whole? Everyone else looked over the man. Everyone else could not be bothered to help him. But Jesus, when he knew his situation, reached down and in a moment took a broken, washed up, disabled, and hurting man whose efforts were never enough and made him stand on his own two feet. He made him whole again. Jesus took an old man and transformed him into a new creature. Now, if God can do that for a broken man at the pool of Bethesda, he can do it for you. He can do it for all of us. You see, Jesus embarked on a journey of brokenness that led him to an outcast woman with no home, no hope, no future, to a hopeless executive who could do nothing about his situation, and to a broken cripple. But he's still on that journey. He's still searching for broken and hurting people. Revelation 3:20 says, Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him and he with me. Tonight, Jesus' journey of brokenness has brought him to your house. He has brought him to your life. And he's standing at the door and he's knocking. He's knocking on your empty bank account. He's knocking on the 3 hours of sleep you got last night. He's knocking on your pain. He's knocking on your hurt. He's knocking on your struggles. He's knocking on the door to your life and saying, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest in your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Whatever your problem is tonight, whatever your situation, whatever your sin, whatever your past, whatever your history that you came here with tonight, whether you feel like an outcast, whether you feel hopeless, whether you feel broken, I want to tell you tonight that Jesus can help. Jesus can forgive, and Jesus can lift you up. Amen. Maybe you say, I've never even heard of this Jesus before, but I feel an awful lot like that crippled man, always reaching for something, always straining, always reaching for something just out of reach. But no matter how hard I try, it never satisfies. But I'd like to be made whole. And then tonight, just believe in Jesus. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. The Bible says that Jesus has come to seek and to save that which was lost. He has come looking for the broken, looking for the helpless, looking for the weak, for the alone, and he wants to give you new life. It doesn't matter what you've done. It doesn't matter what you're going through. I want you to know that God sees you, God loves you, and he cares enough to ask the question, wilt thou be made whole? His arms stand open. He's ready to help you. He's ready to put your life back together, but you have to make a choice. Each one of these people could have said, you know what, Jesus, I don't think you can cut it. I think I still got this on my own. The nobleman, he could have said, you know what, I'm rich. I don't need you, Jesus. The outcast woman said, you know what, I like my relationships. I don't need you, Jesus. The crippled man could have said, you know what, you're just making fun of me. I don't need you, Jesus. They each had to make a choice to come to Jesus, to believe in him, to trust his word. And that's how Jesus makes you whole. That's how he begins the process, by you simply putting your faith and trust in him. Amen. So Jesus asks us all tonight, no matter what we're going through, what our heartache is, he asks the question, wilt thou be made whole?